Well, I ended 2019 every service I took I had to play. The start of 2020, the second service I've taken this year, and we've had to sing unaccompanied both times. So there we are. I shall perhaps see a trend emerging. I don't know if we'll carry on all year, but we'll see how we go. Lovely to be with you again, and thank you for the opportunity just to open the scriptures with you. I'd like to read a few verses, please, from 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3 this evening. And we'll commence reading at verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 3, commencing at verse 8. And Peter says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that, whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ." We know the Lord blesses the public reading of his word. Let's just commit ourselves to him again, shall we? Our Father, we do just rejoice that we have the opportunity to open the scriptures this evening, and pray that you will just bring to each one of our hearts and thoughts those things that will magnify our Saviour. Lord, challenge us and encourage us at the start of this another year, we pray. And our Father, we just look to receive a blessing, speaker and hearer alike, this evening. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I closed out last year and took a few gospel meetings, I was drawn to speak about Paul and Silas in prison and how that, in spite of their physical situation, they were found in the depths of that prison singing praise to God. And I guess my thoughts have sort of carried on from there to what I'd like to speak to you about this evening. And one of the pieces of Christian literature that I subscribe to often prints 1 Peter 3:15, and so I've seen it a few times over this Christmas season, and it's been in the forefront of my mind. And I just want to centre my thoughts around what 1 Peter 3:15 says. It says, "Be ready to give every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you." That's really what I want to think about this evening. I want to look at ourselves and say, are we hopeful people? Is that something that characterizes us as we go into a new year? Is it something that we are seen to be? In this world around us where hope is often something that's so distant, family situations, we've been praying for the royal family this evening, but they're just a family going through troubles like so many others, sadly, aren't they? And so many people are in this world without hope. But I want just to go through and follow this word through some of the scriptures and just try and expand some of the ideas around hope. The idea of this word is that it's to anticipate, and it has the idea of something pleasurable. It has expectation and confidence behind it. A few weeks ago, I had a very hopeful 6-year-old little girl who was looking at a pile of bits and pieces and hoping that some of the presents under the tree were for her. She was hoping that there'd be things in there that she wanted. But really, should we be all that much different? Are we as Christians tonight? Shouldn't we be bubbling over with that sort of expectation as we anticipate what God has in store? We rejoice already that this year there have been folks under the sound of the gospel in this building. And we rejoicing at Millway of folks who've come in over the Christmas time for different things that we've hosted. And we're just looking to the Lord to bless. He blessed us last year. And I'm sure he's blessed you last year too. And we look for the future and say, we look with hope to a God who is richly to bless us. Richly able and willing to bless. Now, I had a review at work today, and it wasn't one of the words that came up at work. Perhaps I hoped it would have been. But if we go out of this place tonight, perhaps you have to be careful who you ask. We've already been trading a few comments about each other here at the start. But I wonder if people, as we come out, if we were to speak to them, whether they would see us as hopeful. When they see us walk out of the building or walk into work, are we weighed down by the pressures that can get on top of us? Or are our sights lifted a little higher? Are our expectations centred in something that is far above our situations or circumstances, centred in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? So that's where I want us to go this evening. I want us just to consider, and I've got a number of scriptures before me tonight, where this word, this Greek word for hope, is used. This idea of anticipation with pleasure, expectancy, and confidence. And hopefully some thoughts here that we can take for ourselves into the year that lies ahead of us, if the Lord will. It's all centered around this idea at the very start of verse 15 of 1 Peter 3, that we sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. We give him the place that is rightfully his. We look to him and we acknowledge that he is our Lord and our Saviour. We'll come to that in a few minutes' time, but in giving him the rightful place and honouring his name, the word is to hallow, as perhaps we'd say if we were to recite the Lord's Prayer and we would say, hallowed be thy name. And it's that sense of reverence that we bring to the Lord in our hearts, and coming to that rightful place before him, it leads us to the point where Peter suggests, well, every man's going to ask us why we're so hopeful. When the Lord is before us, people will say, well, you've got something that we're missing. What is it about you that we don't have? And so, let's just go through some of these things together. Romans 15, it says the God of hope, verse 13, I'm going to be jumping through a number of scriptures. I did think I ought to write them down for you all so you could follow. But Romans 15, verse 13, if you want to start trying to follow where we're going. But it says, here is the God of hope. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. What a wonderful God we serve, don't we? When the world out there is looking for meaning, and we've spoken tonight of meditation and mysticism that many turn to find meaning in life, it's wonderful that we can turn to the living, true God. And we can say, in the beginning, God. And starting from that foundation, we can build onto it. And so we have here in Hebrew, Romans chapter 15, verse 13, the God who is the God of hope. And as the Roman letter is being written, Paul is there saying, look, let him fill you with all joy. Joy is something that doesn't depend on our circumstances. Joy is something that is centered in something far greater. Joy is above whatever else is going on around us. It's not happiness. Our happiness ebbs and flows, doesn't it, based on situations and
what's going on in our lives. But joy is something that is deeply rooted. And here it is, it's our God is going to fill us with joy and peace. And what's that in? Rooted in the fact that in believing, here is a God of hope. And our hope, our joy, our peace stems from the fact that we believe in him. It's great to have a reason to believe and a reason to trust. We believe in a God who is omnipotent and all-knowing, a God who is all-powerful and able to do abundantly more than we ask or think. How often do I have to chastise myself and just say, Lord, why didn't I believe you could do it? Why did I have to wait to see it before I believed that it was possible? It keeps happening to me at Millway. I keep looking and thinking, well, God can't work in that life, can he? And sure enough, the Lord does, to my shame. But God is able, God is willing, and he is the God of hope. If I'm to have that hope, I need to understand him better at the outset. Belief in him. And it goes on then to say it again, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So it's belief. It's then the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that point when we trust in Christ, that we are changed. We are not indwelt by all those sinful things, but the Holy Spirit fills us. And we are not our own. We are bought with a price. We are sealed with the Spirit. And that is where the hope stems from. It's that belief. And it's that power that means that we can abound in hope. So, naturally, it should be something that we anticipate and desire to show to others. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. And coming from a position of no hope, I'm sure you know the words of Ephesians 2, verse 12. It says, when you had no hope without God in the world, we were aliens to the commonwealth of Israel. We had no hope but God. Once we were without Christ. Once we were utterly hopeless. Once we were as destitute as folks that sadly we can see drinking themselves into oblivion or just taking themselves out of their rightful senses through drugs or alcohol or whatever it might be. We were as hopeless and as helpless as the most destitute in society, but through Christ, we who had no hope have been given that wonderful hope. And as I was studying through this and looking through some of the references that came up in the concordance, in Titus chapter 1 verse 2, Paul writing to Titus says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. It's a wonderful thing to think that God has been working since before even time began. We've only been able to measure time since God created light and darkness, day and night. That was the first day. But before even that, God planned the hope that we could have. The hope of eternal life. Before even God created the world, God knew that he would send his Son into the world that we might live through him. God knew that you and I would be here tonight to share this message long before he laid it on my heart to share with you. God has his plan. Numerous places in the scripture it says, look, if we're seen, what can we hope for? But God has laid out his plan before us. We can have hope and certainty in that. Because God's plans always come to fruition. God always does everything perfectly. There is no shadow of turning. There's no hint that something might be done wrong. Might not be done in the way we'd like it to be done. Might not be done in the time scale in which we'd like it done. I was chatting to someone the other night and
We're reminding ourselves that, dear, Mr. Muller was such a great man of faith, saw so many great things done through his faith in God and his prayer life. And yet through all his lifetime he prayed for a close friend and he never saw that man come to faith. But yet, at his funeral, that man trusted Christ as his saviour. Dear Mr. Muller had been praying all those years for his salvation. He never witnessed it here on earth. But God worked through the testimony of him at his funeral, and that long-standing friend was saved. God has his plan in place. The world doesn't change that. When Satan thought he had the victory, when he saw the only begotten Son of God crucified, it was only when Christ rose from the dead, perhaps, that Satan realized that his power had been vanquished, that Christ was victor over death and the grave, and he is the one who holds the keys. God's plan is always perfect. And so rooted in him, we can have that faith. Our hope is centered in the risen Christ. We're back in 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living, a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Here is something that is historical fact. At the time the New Testament was written, 1 Corinthians 15 records that he was seen of over 500 at once. Many of them were still alive at the time. Over 500 eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Christ. And here it is, historical fact. We have a living reality of hope because Christ rose from the dead. We don't have to fear. Already this year, I've heard of four who have passed into eternity, even just in my small circles. Two who we pray for, who we don't know where they stood before God. We don't know if they trusted in him as their saviour or not. Two dear brethren who have gone into eternity, ready to meet their Lord and Saviour, who have perhaps had their lives cut short, naturally speaking. Neither of them particularly old. But both men with a great Christian witness and a great Christian testimony. But we have a hope through the resurrection of Christ. And what is that hope? Well, it's the hope of eternal life. Titus 3 verse 7, justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Our hope is incredibly that one day we will be joint heirs with Christ. There's something incredible about that. To start to explore the riches of what Revelation puts before us, in that we shall reign with him. We shall be part of his kingdom. We shall be those who stand alongside him. We are those who worship him. We are joint heirs with Christ. And that hope is of eternal life. See these folks on the news who have paid hundreds and hundreds of thousands to get to go into space. They reckon the first space tourists will happen this year. I'm sure it'll be phenomenal. Lovely just looking and seeing the full moon a couple of nights ago in all its brilliance and clarity. And I'm sure it'll be a wonderful thing to go and witness the earth from space. Yes, I'd love to do it. But for the believer, what a great hope we have that we will be with Christ, the one who made all these things. And that we will be with him forever. There'll always be something fresh to appreciate. I remember a speaker coming back in my student days when I was down at university. And he made the comment, and it stayed with me. When we understand all the riches of Christ, eternity will cease, is what that man said.
Now, you might want to try and work your way through it, as I have over many years. But just the idea that for eternity we will not cease to find things to praise God for. His character, his person, his deity, his holiness, his justice, his righteousness. There will be all these wonderful aspects of God that eternity will not be sufficient to understand. We have that hope of eternal life, of beholding his glory. We're in Romans 5 verse 2. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Just to behold him. We have the writings of John there in the Revelation, and he explains to us about the throne, about the crowds that are around the throne singing praise. We see the light that emanates from it, and the river of pure water, and all these wonderful things described. We see the occasion when Christ was transfigured before those disciples. And Peter could afterwards write, "We beheld his glory." We see these things. We understand them from the scriptures. And yet the line from the scriptures is, "The half hath not been told." When we see the Lord in his glory, when we are able, not with these frail, dim human eyes that we currently have, but when we have a glorified body that we can look on the glory of the Lord, not just on his hinder parts as Moses from that cleft of the rock. And even Moses came down from the mountain glowing, having been in the presence of the Lord. Our hope is of the glory of God. The blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. That's Titus 2:13. We have his glory, but then we have his appearing. Here is our hope. My hope for 2020 is my same hope that I had in 2019. And it's still just as true and it's still just as real that this year might not end. This year might be the year when my Saviour comes. And I might be with him for all eternity. Dear lady at Millway turned 100 last year. I don't want to take her funeral. I want to be with her when we're both taken to be with the Lord. That's my hope. That's my expectation that this year is the year that Christ is coming. We look at world events. We look at the things that are going on and we say, the world is in such a mess. Surely it's soon. And it is with that hope that we as Christians witness. Those folks who are in here for the film, they might not get to see another one. That might be their last opportunity. We grasp the opportunities and we say to folks, you need Christ. And we redeem the time. Because my hope is that this year is the year when Christ will come. My faith will give way to sight and I will be with him for all eternity. Oh, for some, the presence of Christ will bring great shame and great sadness. To stand before God as judge and to witness that they never trusted in Christ as their own will be a horrific thing, particularly for those who have spoken to you about the Lord and have turned their back on an opportunity. But for those of us who love him, 1 Thessalonians 2:19, I'm in now. What is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? That is my hope. That is my joy. That is my theme of rejoicing. The fact that the presence of the Lord will be there forever. It will never again be through the frailty of human flesh that I enjoy Christ in all his wonders. It won't ever again be with sin-tainted eyes and ears that I hear his voice and see him. It will be in purity and holiness. It will be in that new body which is like unto his glorious body. It will be to be with him for all eternity. So shall we be forever with the Lord. The presence of the Lord for me is a wonderful thing. Something I'm anticipating, something I'm hoping for. Oh, if only the world knew what that presence would mean for them. To stand before him in all his holiness and purity without a leg to stand on. Just to see themselves as God sees them in all their sinfulness and failure. And not to know that Christ says, you're clothed in my righteousness. You're forgiven because of my blood, which was shed for you. And to take the words of that parable, enter into the joy of your Lord. Oh, what a hope we have. As I say, we perhaps will hear at the funerals of those who have already gone on this year, that we mourn and sorrow not even as others which have no hope. This year we have a hope. I would love to be found, as I say, in my Lord's presence with those who have gone before. Those who are alive and remain, we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so we shall be forever with the Lord. Two verses as we conclude this evening. First, 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. It says this: every man, every person that has this hope in them purifies himself even as he is pure. We go into a world which seeks to taint us, that seeks to mar our testimony, that seeks to bring us down and to describe us in very unflattering terms. We go into a world that would seek to see us fail and to fall, that would seek to bring disrespect and dishonour to our Saviour. But every person that has this hope purifies himself. We have to come before God. We have to acknowledge and we have to realize that this world does defile us. My thoughts aren't always as pure as I'd like them to be. My actions aren't always perhaps with the right motives, whatever the outcome may be. But we need to come before God. We have this hope. We're not like those who have no hope. And so for that to show clearly, we have to come before God and just to keep a short account with him, to purify ourselves, to acknowledge before him that it's only through his cleansing that we have any hope, and just to spend time with him in prayer, in confession, in the scriptures. Every man that has this hope purifies himself. We realize, sometimes, sadly, we're so acutely aware of it, just how sin-tainted we can be, to show a clear light to those who need it. In 2020, we need to be those who are pure and holy before God, not in our own righteousness, but in the righteousness of Christ, showing him forth in our lives. He's called us all with our different abilities and different understandings and different levels of intellect and communication ability. He's not called us to be the same, but he has called us to be like his Son. And each and every one of us can reflect him in our lives, in our social circles, in our workplaces, in our families. We purify ourselves, dare I say it, even as he is pure. I can never attain unto the standards of my Lord and Saviour. But that doesn't stop me trying. Doesn't make me each day want to be more like him. It doesn't stop me desiring to show him forth more in my life. We purify ourselves. And now I just want to conclude in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. And here in the Authorized Version, it's translated faith rather than hope. But it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. It's the same word. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith, the hope that we have. Hold it fast. The older I get, the more I rejoice that I don't know what tomorrow holds. As we have sadnesses and problems, I praise God that He's promised strength for today. And that tomorrow is yet to come and it's in His hands. The day that's past is gone. He gave strength for that. We've come through it. And today He's given strength for today's trials. Tomorrow, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. We've commented in prayer at the start how that taking a conservative evangelical stance in this world is increasingly counterculture. How increasingly we are being eroded and told that we have to conform. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. The hope that we have is all in Christ Jesus. Without Him we have nothing. In 2020, we might have minutes of it left before the Lord comes. We might yet get the rest of the year. God knows. We don't. Can we, as we go out and seek to live for Him, can we show Him forth? Can we entrust into our God's hands our lives, that He will encourage us and He will enable us this year to hold fast the profession of our faith, to show Him forth, to be ready to give others a reason for the hope that is within us, not with brashness and pride, but with meekness and fear. We're only who we are because of Christ. We're only in the wonderful position we are and have the hope that we have because of Him. Let's show Him forth to a world that needs Him. Let's give them a reason for our hope. Let's leave them without excuse. Let's not leave them on the fence, not quite knowing what we were trying to tell them. Not being wishy-washy in the way that we presented the message of the gospel. Let's make sure that folks know that they need the Lord. Let's be clear in our own testimony as to our Lord and Saviour. Let's just commit ourselves as we close. Our blessed Lord, we do just rejoice in this hope that we have. Father, the hymn writer says, we have a hope that is steadfast and certain, gone through the curtain and touching the throne. We have a Christ who is there interceding. Word of the Father, exalted for us. Lord, help us this year to be ready, when you give us opportunities, to take them and to share with others Christ. Lord, help our hopes to not be centred in the glitz and glamour of this world and all its sparkly wrapping paper like we see at the Christmas time. But Lord, help our hopes to be rooted in the certainty of Christ and His salvation. Lord, if we are given days and weeks, months even on this earth, we know that we will have troubles and difficulties. For the things that are the things that have been, the things that will be are things that have been in the past. But Lord, help us each and every one just to take each day at a time, holding fast to you. Be with us, Lord. Make us conscious of your presence when the days are dark. Thrill us, Lord, when we're able to reach that pinnacle in our experience and we are able just to understand the riches of Christ a little more. May 2020, Lord, and the days that are given to us, be a time when each of our hearts and lives honours you and brings glory to your name. Our Father, then, we commit ourselves into your hands. Take us to our homes in safety. Be with our loved ones. Be with those of this fellowship and the fellowship back at Millway. Be with those in the communities known to us who seek to reach out with the gospel. And our Father, we pray that while Christ does not return, we may be found as those who are willing and able to show forth the Lord's death until he comes. O Lord, we commit ourselves into your hands, giving you thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen.